You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 2nd of July, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
So long as there's no follow-up questions, I'm in a very good mood.
I don't have follow-up questions, but I do have an apology to make to listeners. Sorry, we are a couple of minutes late, and, well, I can blame Bill Gates for that. Windows update has totally messed up all my sound settings, so I'm hoping that you can hear us both okay. The sound quality might not be so good, but I think we've just about managed to jerry-rig it so we can do the show today. And we're going to be talking about the end of the transatlantic partnership today. And the transatlantic partnership in question is between Germany and America, because things seem to be escalating as far as the so-called threat coming from the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline from Russia. Aside from being an affront to EU sovereignty and an immediate threat to European jobs, the sweeping US sanctions targeting the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline mark the end of the transatlantic partnership, Gerhard Schroeder has said. A sanctions bill currently being debated in the US Congress is a widespread, unjustified attack on the European economy and an unacceptable interference with EU sovereignty and energy security in Western Europe, former Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder argued in a position paper drafted ahead of parliamentary hearings on the matter. The penalties, which affect over 120 shipbuilding, engineering, environmental and security companies that work or have worked with Nord Stream 2, mark the definite termination of the transatlantic partnership, the retired Chancellor's statement said, as cited by the German business daily Handelsblatt. Behind each of these companies are European jobs that are at risk, it warned. Schroeder's judgment appears to match that of Nord Stream AG, a company operating the pipeline. The sanctions, the firm told TASS, would block roughly 700 million euros from being pumped into finishing the massive construction works at sea and on land. While sizable, that figure pales in comparison to the roughly 8 billion euros spent on building the pipeline and auxiliary infrastructure. Schroeder, who chairs Nord Stream AG's shareholder committee, warned that an even larger amount of money, 12 billion euros, would have been spent in vain if the pipeline project is not finalised. At the hearing, there was no shortage of speakers bashing the US or meddling in German and European affairs. The issue here is not about the German-American affairs, as it is often seen. It is about European sovereignty, stated Niels Annen, Minister of State at the Foreign Office. Well, this is serious, Matt, because, you know, they can't stop this Nord Stream now. Billions of euros have gone into this, and yet that seems to be what the American administration is determined on doing. What should we make of this?
You know, I thought that Trump was Putin's puppet. And now he's willing to risk a massive rift with Europe to put sanctions on Russia. And in fact, he'll put sanctions on allied corporations and people in order to punish Russia. So I guess he's not. And of course, no one's even noticing this. But sanctions on these companies, this is long before Trump's administration. Germany does a lot of business with Russia. The energy connection between the two is humongous. It's very efficient. It's very well done. The Russians have said this is going to go through no matter what. And the U.S. is so obsessed with destroying Russia that it'll destroy its own relationship with Germany. And God knows how many American jobs are going to suffer because of this. Now, sanctions bills are full of holes. A president can lift sanctions whenever he wants. There has to be specific companies and specific institutions that they apply to. And they have a time limit. So really, you know, sanctions sound a lot worse than they really are. What Trump may end up doing is simply just lifting them quietly on specific companies, especially when they're doing a lot of business with America too. And it's, of course, not just German firms either. But this is incredible. And this would have happened anyway. This has nothing to do with the virus or anything else. But that's it. You know, when European millionaires say we're finished with the U.S., you're not worth it anymore, this is a massive issue.
Do you think that they could pull the fact that Germany is a vassal state of America after the Second World War, when the Allies took over? Do you think that could actually play into this? And they could say, sorry, Germany, we're not having it. You've got to do what we say. Do you think that could happen?
I would be shocked if that would happen. So few people know about that. I don't know how that would be enforced. Trump is pulling American soldiers out of Germany as it is anyway. You know, the U.S. isn't going to war with them again. And you know what? Even as far as the sanctions go, they could make that up with Russian, Chinese, and European companies anyway. So I think the losses that they're talking about would be very temporary and easy to make up. Not to mention the profits that are going to come from this second pipeline are going to be so great and facilitate energy transmission that this will be made up for in no time. So I don't see this happening. But I do see Germany asserting its sovereignty even away from the EU and finally passing its own constitution.
Well, that would be great if that happens. But it seems that Germany is replacing Russia as America's favorite adversary. Relations between the two NATO allies have indeed soured under Trump's presidency, to the point that the German media started referring to Berlin as the favorite adversary of the American leader. Trump repeatedly castigated Berlin over its failure to meet the 2% defense expenditure threshold under its NATO obligations. Most recently, he decided to pull almost 10,000 out of 34,500 US troops currently stationed in Germany, adding that he would not be bringing them back until Berlin pays its delinquent NATO bills. Washington also repeatedly clashed with Berlin over the fate of Russia's Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline, a project supported by Germany that the US seemingly sought to bring down at any cost. A 25% steel tariff and a 10% aluminium tariff Trump imposed on the EU, which severely affected Germany's car industry and did not make relations between the two any better either. Neither did Washington's threats to slap imported cars with tariffs, which German Chancellor Angela Merkel called a real threat to the prosperity of many in the world. She also warned that Europe should be ready for a reality without the US as a world power. I mean, this does seem like a bit of bluster to me, because Russia is the favorite adversary. I don't very often hear about Germany being the adversary. Is this just being talked about in Germany, Matt, or do you hear about it over there as well in America?
No, this is the first I'm hearing about, you know, Germany replacing Russia. I can't imagine that. The ideological connection is too close and the economic connection is too close. But the American market is so depressed as it is. I can't imagine German firms really suffering all that much. They'd be suffering anyway. And you know, how long are American companies going to be able to tolerate these tariffs when the EU raises their own? And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Angela Merkel is actually sounding like a leader for the first time ever. This can change everything as far as German politics are concerned. And of course, they're going to be saying that Putin, you know, controls Europe now, and the God knows what the headline is going to be over the next few weeks. That Putin, you know, controls Germany. Putin controls Italy. The Brexit issue. Putin apparently controls everything. So we'll see how hysterical the American press will get if they really ever bother writing about this very much. It's a bit too obscure for most people.
Well, Russia and particularly Moscow seems particularly pleased with Putin today. I've just been looking at all these celebrations over their constitution. Well, let's have a look at what the fuss is all about with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Once completed, it will supply Europe with up to 55 billion cubic meters of natural gas per year, on top of the 55 billion cubic meters already pumped through Nord Stream 1 every year since 2011. Its completion would transform Germany into a regional gas hub and would see Washington pushed out of supplying Europe's gas demand. The Trump administration has attempted to lure European countries away from Russian gas with the promise of molecules of freedom, liquefied natural gas shipped across the Atlantic. However, Washington's offer has been met with little interest in Europe due to its higher cost compared to the Russian product. While Poland has stepped up its imports of American gas, German Chancellor Angela Merkel has criticized the American sanctions and pledged to see the Nord Stream 2 project through to completion. The only European states to side with Washington have been Ukraine and Poland, who currently charge Russia transit fees to operate underground pipelines in their territory. The project will be completed despite all these threats, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said in December. Europeans understand their commercial interest, and they are interested in ensuring long-term energy security. Well, this is just basic capitalism, isn't it? Russia is offering the gas at a much cheaper price, and the free market says that Europe should be buying its gas from Russia and not buying it from America. And you can see that just by this weak argument that they've got. Well, you're buying molecules of freedom when you buy them in America. You're buying ex-communist gas if you go to Russia. I mean, that's essentially the only argument that they've got. So they're having to rely on these sanctions. What do you make of this weak advertising here? Molecules of freedom. It's almost like they're not really trying. Right? Don't you think, Matt?
Yeah, and it's increasingly common that they're not trying. Molecules of freedom. This is unbelievable. You know, the Russian gas has superior infrastructure. Of course, it's brand new. They're right next to each other. And Poland, don't forget, is very dependent on the German market and on German products. They can't be siding with the U.S. all that much. So that's not going to last very long. Ukraine, of course, is a puppet state, has no independence whatsoever, no real functional economy. So that doesn't make any difference. So Poland can't be doing this for long. Poland is very dependent on Germany. So that this is just a – and I don't know what they promised Poland. I know economic assistance – or they won't yell at them anymore for not bringing in refugees or whatever it is. I still think that these tariffs are very temporary, at least in their effect, and that Trump's eventually going to have to realize that they're not sustainable. But this is how far Trump's willing to go to punish and harm Russia. But it also shows you how powerful the American natural gas companies are in Washington, that they could force the administration to go this far and to say these idiotic things. And try to force Germany to spend a fortune on gas that has to be pumped all the way across the Atlantic on much older pipelines and much older equipment. Russia's won this one.
I think they're talking about transporting it over in ships, aren't they? I don't know that they've actually got pipelines from America to Europe. Maybe they have, but the pipeline at the moment goes through Ukraine, and Ukraine have siphoned gas off. They owe loads of money, so it's quite clear they don't want this to go on. Maybe America's thinking, well, because Ukraine is a vassal state, we've got control over this Nord Stream 1, this Nord Stream 2, though. This bypasses them, and they've got no control over it. Well, let's have a look at the investment itself. European companies have already invested billions of dollars in the Nord Stream 2 underwater pipeline from Russia to Germany and are not going to ditch the project despite the threat of new US sanctions. Washington could be preparing to target the massive Russian-European energy project again after last year's restrictions failed to completely stop it. US lawmakers want to approve another sanctions bill, this time imposing restrictions on the European investors involved in it, or the potential buyers of the gas delivered via the route after its completion, the German business outlet Handelsblatt reported earlier this week, citing its sources. We know that the Americans are determined to prevent Nord Stream 2. Christine Bosak, a spokesperson for Uniper, one of the lenders of the project, told Sputnik on Thursday, "We have undertaken to provide financing for up to one-tenth of the project costs, and under the circumstances, we will meet these obligations in accordance with contractual and legal requirements." According to an agreement signed in 2017, some 15% of financing for the Nord Stream 2 is being provided by European energy majors, while another lender, OMV, said that it spent €113 million in 2019, while its total contribution to the Nord Stream 2 amounts to about €700 million. While the oil and gas company's commitments are almost fulfilled, its CEO, Rainer Seel, warned that the US sanctions could spike gas prices in Europe and disrupt its energy supplies. So is that the main worry here, Matt, that it's actually going to put the price up of gas and cause problems with manufacturing, do you think?
Yeah, you know, but anything it does over there, it's going to do in America too. America doesn't produce anything anymore. It's as dependent on Europe as anything else. This is a decline, a country that's not a superpower anymore, acting like it is. Germany is looking at the total revitalization of its economy, making it a major global energy hub because of this pipeline. The contracts have been signed, money has been sunk into this, and these European powers and companies have just as much power to punish the Americans as the Americans have to punish them. So it's going to be massively disruptive one way or the other, but they can compensate for that fairly quickly. I think this is all very short-term speculation. But everyone is you know, this, everyone's saying this is going to be finished. It's almost finished as it is. And the money, when the money starts coming in, the sanctions won't mean that much. They'll adjust to it because the U.S. just really isn't that significant anymore. And, you know, Trump's acting like pulling soldiers out of Germany is a punishment. What the hell are they there for in the first place? Not defending them from anything. Who cares whether they're there or not? And they actually believe that you know, Russia's going to invade Germany at any given moment. And that's the absurdity of the administration in this particular issue. This has been going on for some time. We've talked about the sanctions on European steel and energy on the show even last year. This has been going on for a while, and it doesn't seem to ever work. So it's probably going to happen that Trump is going to, you know, if this bill is passed and he signs it, he'll be lifting them, you know, by executive order and avoiding sanctioning them. Because, you know, if they avoid sanctions, it's very rare that any of these companies go to court. You know, when was the last time you heard, you know, a major Mercedes-Benz going to court for violating American sanctions on Russia? It's not going to happen. America is too dependent on them for that. So this is just going to be bluster for now on both sides. And Germany will see a brand new revitalized energy-based economy that will then feed the rest of Europe. And Poland will follow along very soon. And Ukraine remains a fourth world country as it is. So this is just, you know, the U.S. is pretending that this is 1960. It's no longer a superpower. It no longer has this kind of influence, and it's lost.
It really must be a hell of a lot cheaper gas for them to be putting up with all of this, to be honest. It must be a lot cheaper than what they have been paying from America. Well, let's have a look at some of these ultimatums. In December, the US State Department issued an ultimatum to European companies taking part in the project, threatening them with sanctions if they do not cease their work by January 20th. The US says the project will harm the interests of Poland and Ukraine, which will lose billions of dollars in transit fees from Moscow, as well as limiting Europe's opportunities for energy diversification. Well, the threats seem to have worked on Swiss-Dutch construction company Allseas, which halted work on the last section of the pipe. On Friday, Russian Minister of Energy Alexander Novak said that the pipeline would still be launched by the end of 2020, as Russia has the equipment needed to complete construction. So they don't actually need this company that's stopped working on it. Objections to the pipeline from Washington and its European client states have been mainly political in nature, dealing with a potential loss of leverage more than anything else. The US has even called Germany a hostage because of its increasing dependency on Russian gas, while offering its own liquefied natural gas, already mentioned as molecules of freedom, as an alternative, though at a much higher price. Ukraine and Poland say the Nord Stream 2 will rob them of billions of dollars in transit fees, which they have been collecting from Russia over the years. Well, why is America so bothered about Ukraine and Poland losing out here, Matt? Is that just a cover for it, or do you think there is actually some concern there? Why are they so concerned about Ukraine and Poland?
Yeah, is it just a cover? They couldn't care less about it. Because as far as the transit fees goes, when this is completed, the efficiency and, you know, the brand new equipment is going to make up for those fees very quickly. The connection between the Polish and German economy and Russian economy too is extraordinary. So that's not really going to matter. But it's strictly political. Like it says here, they're going to pretend that Russia now controls all of this, that they're a hostage to cheaper gas from the Russians. And, coming from, you know, buying from the U.S. at a higher price with older equipment and not very efficient mechanisms is somehow going to improve their lives and improve their political system. The U.S. doesn't matter much in Europe anymore. Pulling the troops out, the American market is depressed. European products aren't doing well there. And this Swiss company, which I guarantee you has American investors all over it, is now opened up for all kinds of lawsuits because they had a contract signed for this. They can't just stop work. So again, American companies may have promised them something. They may have given them contracts elsewhere in exchange for this. But they just can't do that. All this has been signed. Money's been spent. So they're going to be sued. So it's a rear guard action of something that's almost finished. The Russians will finish it anyway by themselves. They've been doing this for a very long time. But yeah, the Polish thing, U.S. doesn't care about Poland. U.S. has been condemning Poland's domestic policy for years because of the refugee issue. So, you know, this is outrageous. And this is going to be gone. I guarantee the sanctions aren't really going to take effect. And the U.S. is going to be less and less relevant. And whatever dollars the Germans have, the Italians have, are going to be shed as well, just like the Russians and Chinese have. So it's going to put even higher pressure, downward pressure on the dollar.
Well, I can see that there's a little bit of logic here. I mean, you can say at the moment, well, they've got some gas coming from Nord Stream 1. They've got some gas coming from America. They probably also got some gas coming from the Middle East. But once you've got Nord Stream 2 there, all the gas is going to be coming from Russia, which is rather like having all your eggs in one basket. But that's not really any of America's business, is it? That's you know, that's a risk that Germany has to weigh up for herself. So it's not really America's place to interfere in that way. Well, as we said, the threats have only worked on one particular company anyway, and Merkel and Putin have both vowed to continue the pipeline. President Vladimir Putin and Chancellor Angela Merkel have reiterated their support for the Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline from Russia to Germany, the Kremlin says, as the US seeks to curb the project with sanctions. The attitude for further support of the Nord Stream 2 project was confirmed during a phone call which was initiated by the German side on Sunday, according to a statement on the Kremlin website. Swiss-Dutch construction company Allseas fell for the American intimidation and halted operations in the Baltic Sea. However, Russia confirmed it will be able to complete the pipeline on its own by the end of 2020. So I guess what they're effectively saying here is it doesn't matter what sanctions you put on these companies. Russia has its own companies. Russia will finish this pipeline and there is nothing that can be done about it. Is that sort of what they're implying here, Matt?
And I'm willing to bet you that this is not a surprise from the Russian side, that this is a contingency plan that they had anyway. There were sanctions on the Russian economy regardless, that Germany has been ignoring for years. Actually, most of Europe has been ignoring for years. So this is a plan B that they've already had in place. And because Allseas, again, I don't know for a fact, but I bet you it's pretty much an American firm with American investors on the board, is going to be weak regardless. And they've had a separate deal made with the U.S. Again, this is going to hurt the American economy. The U.S. is too dependent on foreign sources of everything. And it just shows you how powerful the natural gas firms are in Washington. The U.S. state is making a fool of itself for the sake of the profits of American natural gas, which is now going to be pushed out of the European market. There's nothing wrong with having a dependency on Russian gas. Russia has absolutely no reason to turn the spigot off or raise the price arbitrarily. And this is going to do nothing but increasingly elevate the economies of Central Europe. This is a big deal for them. And this all comes down to the U.S. not being a superpower anymore. And this is how they're lashing out. But again, these sanctions aren't going to take place. The Russians have been able to wave them off with no problem. And the same will go for Central Europe.
Well, it does seem like people are now asking the question, is that it? Is the partnership over? The alliance over? The German-American alliance? The German-Russian Chamber of Commerce expressed yet the strongest position, stating that this project serves Germany's economic interest and energy security and calling for retaliatory sanctions on the United States. Yes, retaliatory sanctions. But will the Europeans have the guts to do so? And do so with meaningful sanctions like tariffs on American goods or stop importing certain US goods, cars or iPhones, for example? Germany, especially Germany's business community, has recognized that Russia, the huge landmass of Eurasia all the way to China, is an actual market, not only for Germany, but for the whole of Europe, and has been for hundreds of years, before the UK transplanted her empire across the Atlantic, killing millions of indigenous people, conquering North America, hoping to have an easier time to reign over the world from her vantage position between two shining seas. It has almost worked, at least for a while, but now US arrogance, greed and violence around the globe is backfiring. The world is becoming sick and tired of US exceptionalism. The relatively recent, indiscriminate and unlimited sanctions program against anyone, any nation, that doesn't bend to the whims of Washington results in economic warfare, and it is driving more allies away than it attracts, so it amounts to America's economic suicide. Since the US economy depends on financial hegemony and war, it will be a gradual downfall of the US economy. It may not be a sudden collapse, as many may wish for, but rather a slow but steady disappearance of the US muscle exactly the way it ought to be, so as not to hurt countries still depending on the US dollar, giving them time and opportunities to diversify their markets and monetary reserves. So do you think this has sort of been a plan all along of Russia to replace America and to take America down like this, Matt? Because, I mean, you know, that could be playing into this. It could be a long-term plan that Russia has to, you know, to take America's position, because that is effectively what's going to happen if you get the EU doing all its trade with Russia. I mean, it makes a lot more sense than doing it with America right the way over the other side of the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything this guy says here is true. I think the sanctions aren't unlimited, indiscriminate. I think they're very specific and often don't work. And again, these German companies are so heavily invested in the U.S., the sanctions really can't bite very much. And the U.S. deserves it. The U.S. has been doing everything it can to start a war with Russia, to surround Russia with enemies, from Ukraine to Georgia, to Central Europe, to Central Asia, overthrowing governments, financing opposition parties to Putin in Russia that you know get like 2% of the vote, having the CIA all over the place. And this is what you get. The U.S. is going to lose. It doesn't have the power anymore. The dollar isn't a significant factor anymore. And it's not going to take long, like in this last paragraph, it's not going to take long for these companies, for these countries to diversify its currencies, to sell its dollars. And the U.S. is going to lose. There's no way the U.S. can win here. And Poland, again, can't continue to, you know, Poland's not big enough to really matter in the natural gas market. And when this is completed, there's no way it's going to buy any more of these molecules of freedom from the U.S. at a much higher price and a much lower quality. So this is, and for Germany, which is, again, heavily invested in the U.S., for them to react this way just shows you how nasty the U.S. has been, how hard they're pushing, and the result's going to be a total disaster for the U.S. economy, a disaster the U.S. economy can't afford, that the dollar is already under downward pressure. It's always going to be massive inflation from all of this, the bailouts of the banks, and now this, and the dollar is simply going to become less and less relevant. Russia has used its weapons far better than the U.S. has used its weapons. I mean, we've talked about in this show how the U.S. is trying to pick a war with Russia, flying right into Russian airspace, trying to, you know, get them to shoot at them. And the same thing for China. They're doing everything in their power to start a war, to get them out of this the depression that the U.S. is in. And this is what they get. And the good news is that everyone benefits except the Americans. All the European countries do, and Germany does especially. And this may change the internal politics of these countries too. Merkel may become a bit more of a nationalist than she's been in the past. The EU is probably going to fall apart, and Russia is going to become a major player, as she should be. And this is going to benefit. It makes sense that Germany's natural market is in Russia and China. They're right next to each other. They have a lot in common. I've been saying this for years. Dugin's been saying this for years. It makes a lot of sense. Now, the U.S. does have other weapons up its sleeve, but I don't see how it could use them anymore. They picked the wrong battle here, and this is going to be finished very soon. It's almost finished as it is. And anyone who kowtows to the U.S. is going to end up in court in Europe for breach of contract. So these people are going to lose. The U.S. can't win at this point.
And there's an immediate win for the Germans already, seeing a third of those American troops leaving. They've been demonstrating and demanding that those troops leave their country for decades. So I can't see anybody being upset about that. And yeah, it would be great if they did finally get sovereignty and come out with their own constitution. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.